we have seen thus far that the Bible is to be read, searched, studied, meditated upon, and applied. This is something that we should do every day, and we should do this continually. It should be a habit. It should be done very diligently, very thoroughly, because of what the Bible is. It's the Word of God. Because of its design, what it was designed to accomplish in our lives, for those two reasons, for what it is and its design, those should be motivating factors to read, search, study the Word of God. We see in reading and searching and studying, we've seen the last few weeks that there must be a proper approach. There has to be a way that we approach the Word of God, and that's, again, both the preliminary steps that we take, and it's also the spirit that we must maintain while we read, while we search, while we study the Bible. Now, our approach, just like our manner of reading, searching, and studying, should lead to or enhance an accuracy of observation. It is when we read, we are to observe. You would think that that would go without saying, but once again, it's unbelievable. What people fail to observe in reading, especially in reading the Bible. In accurately observing leads us or enables us to discover the meaning. And again, we cannot say it enough. We do not determine meaning. We discover meaning. The meaning has already been determined by God. So interpretation is the discovery of what it means. Observation is the discovery of what it says. You really can't know what it means until you observe what it says. And a lot of people are trying to figure out what it means without observing what it says. So we have to observe what it says. And our approach has a lot to do with this. If we approach the Word of God in the right way, then I believe we will observe. And if we maintain that spirit, we will continue to observe. We'll observe what it says. And by observing what it says, we discover what it means. And now that we've observed what it says and discovered what it means, we have something to meditate upon. We have something to think about. We have something to apply to our lives. We've seen thus far that we are to approach the Word of God again with conviction, persuasion that it is the Word of God. Now, you can approach the Bible with a wrong spirit. A lost person can approach the Bible, and God can still use it. God still work. We realize that. But I'm talking about just daily reading, searching, studying the Scripture. There needs to be conviction, persuasion, that it is the Word of God. That conviction, persuasion motivates us. That conviction and persuasion also protects us. It protects us from trying to make it say something that it doesn't. Once we're convicted and persuaded it's the Word of God, we accept it as it is. there has to be a preparation of heart. That is, we have to, the whole purpose of reading and searching and studying the Word of God is to receive it. To receive it in our own hearts. That's the whole purpose. The whole purpose is not to prove someone else wrong. The purpose is to receive it into our hearts. Therefore, preparation is absolutely necessary. It has to be reverence, which goes along with this correction or conviction. Reverence and awe. It has to be a spirit of submission. Again, if our heart's prepared to receive it, that means also our heart is prepared to submit to whatever it says. It has to be seriousness. No book should be approached more seriously than the Word of God. There are many great treasures to be received. There are also many dangers to avoid in reading the Bible. And therefore, we have to be very, very serious. Last week, we saw that we must be dependent upon the Spirit of God as our teacher. Good commentaries are not necessary. Not even a concordance is necessary. Concordance can be of help, but it's not necessary. The Bible stands alone. It does not need backup. It does not need something to support it. It stands on its own. We just simply need to depend upon the Spirit of God to teach us. That brings us to the last point of a proper approach, and that is we should approach the Bible with great desire. With great desire of heart. Again, think about what it is. It is the revelation, the unveiling of the mind of God. So when we approach the Word of God, we should do so with a desire to see the unveiling of the mind of God. Think about its design. How the Holy Spirit uses the Word of God. Of course, with a lost sinner, He uses it to impart spiritual life. I don't believe spiritual life is ever imparted apart from the seed, which is the Word of God. And the Spirit of God uses that. But after we're saved, after we've received this life, there are times when we need to be quickened. We need to be revived. And the Spirit of God will use the Word of God. Does He use circumstances? Yes, He does. Does He use other people? Yes, He does. But you look at it through and through, and there's always a connection to the Word of God. He always uses the Word of God. That ought to give us a desire when we approach the Bible. He uses the Word of God to impart faith. Did that when we were saved. He uses the Word of God to feed and increase our faith, to strengthen our faith. I mean, what child of God would not desire to have their faith increased? And this is the tool that the Spirit of God uses. So we ought to approach it with great desire, that our faith would be increased. He uses the Word of God to rejoice our hearts. I mean, if a child of God can read the Word of God for hours and not find something to rejoice in, you've got a serious problem. He uses it to admonish us, to correct us, to reprove us. Many times He has to admonish and correct and reprove before we can rejoice. That's part of the process. But He uses His Word to do these things. He uses His Word to equip us through the day. Again, I know that there are several who are in the habit of reading their Bibles in the morning, and it makes a difference in your day. It really does. I mean, it makes a huge difference in your day. And because it equips us, it prepares us for the day. We don't know what a day is going to bring forth, but He does. And this is His Word. And I believe He'll guide us in the morning to read what we'll need for that day. So once again, don't put yourself in a box of, I'm going to read this today, this tomorrow. Don't put yourself in that box. You depend on the Spirit of God to show you, to lead you. He also reveals in His Word the mind of man. I mean, as you read the Word of God, you can't help but see yourself. You see the mind of man. You see how the mind works. You see how the will of man works. You see how the plan of God works. I tell pastors all the time, what you need to study, and I mean study deeply, the nature of man all through the Bible. And it will help you immensely in pastoring. And you can predict is the wrong word, but you can predict what's going to happen next just by the nature of man, the way the mind of man works. And we need to keep this in mind as we read the Word of God. He reveals our own mind. So there ought to be a desire. There ought to be a passion. There ought to be an enthusiasm, a longing as we approach the Word of God. In 1 Samuel 3 and verse 9, Samuel said, "Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth." That's how we ought to approach the Bible. With a desire that God would speak to us. "Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth." Now, if we're going to ask God to speak, we have to be willing to hear. We have to be willing to listen. It's like the person who asks you, "What do you think about such and such?" and then they don't even listen. And a lot of people approach the Bible that way. "Lord, show me something," but then they don't listen when God shows them something very plain because it's not what they wanted. "Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth," or "thy servant is listening." So this desire draws us to read and search and to study. I want to look at 2 Peter, and we've stressed this passage in the past, but I believe there's a wonderful principle here in reading the Word of God, searching and studying the Word of God. In verse 17, or verse 16, remember Peter, James, and John went up into a mountain with Christ. And Christ was transfigured before them. What that means is Christ unveiled His glory before them. They immediately fell to the ground. And he says here in the latter part of verse 16, Peter's referring to this incident. He says, "We were eyewitnesses of His Majesty. For we received from God the Father honor and glory. When there came such a voice to Him from the excellent glory, 'This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased.'" And Matthew's account, "Hear ye Him." He's talking again about this incident on the Mount of Transfiguration. He says, "We were eyewitnesses, saw with our own eyes His Majesty. And this voice which came from heaven we heard. when we were with him in the Holy Mount. That's quite a statement in verse 18. There's wonderful truths in verse 18. We heard while we were with him. We heard while we were with him. What a wonderful thing. Verse 19. We have also, that is present tense, we experienced this event in the past, but we have something right now. A more sure word of prophecy. I believe that means two things. I believe it means that when Peter, James, and John saw Christ in his glory, the word of God became more sure to them. I believe it means that. But I believe it means something beyond that. I believe it means that the word of God is more sure than an eyewitness of his glory. So it tells us something about his word. Then notice what he says. Whereunto, which would refer to the word of his prophecy, which is the word of God. Whereunto ye do well that ye take heed. You do well to give attention to the word of God. What kind of attention should we give unto the word of God? As, that is it, resembles a light that shineth in a dark place. If you're sitting in a dark room and all of a sudden there's a light, I don't care how oblivious you are, you pay attention. You notice a light. It gets your attention. And that's how we're to pay attention to the Word of God. Take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place. How long should we take heed? Until. The very word until gives us a length of time. We are to take heed until. Again, keep in mind he's talking about the Word of God. Giving attention to the Word of God. Take heed until the day dawn. That talks about the sun rising. What it simply means is until it shines forth. Take heed until it shines forth, and then notice, and the day star arise in your hearts. Take heed unto the word of God until it dawns, and until the day star rise in your hearts. Who's the day star? Revelation 22, verse 16. The day star is identified as Jesus Christ. He's the day star. So we are to read the word of God. We are to search it and study it until something happens. Something magnificent. Something happens within us. The day star arise in your hearts. This isn't just talking about mental enlightenment. This is talking about Jesus Christ rising in our hearts. We're to read it until that happens. Now, we've said this many, many, many times, and we'll say it many, many more. That may be two or three words. You may open the Word of God, you may read two or three words, and there it is. The day star rises in your heart. That's a good place to stop. That's a good place to stop. Because now you have something to meditate upon. You can read 40 chapters, and it still may not happen. Keep reading until it does. You may read all day. Well, if it takes that long, I would say you probably need to prepare your heart all over again, because it probably wasn't prepared. But this is, again, another reason why we need to prepare our hearts. Because when we read and search the Word of God, it's to have an effect upon our hearts. Now, you tell me, if you read the Word of God in the beginning of a day, and you read it until the day star rises in your heart, So there you are, you read the Word of God, Jesus Christ has arisen in your heart. Now you tell me that won't make a difference in your day. It certainly will. It certainly will. And perhaps later on in the day you need to read again. I believe many times people read the Word of God and they have a stopping point before they ought to stop. And I believe some go beyond the stopping point. There just comes a time where this is a good place to stop, because God has spoken. So again, we must have a proper approach. Next week we'll start looking at some methods of Bible study. Let's look to the Lord in word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we do thank you again for your word. Again, Lord, we thank you that you've given us access to it. Lord, we thank you that you've given us the ability to read it. We thank you, Lord, that you've put a desire in our hearts for the Word of God. We thank you, Lord, for any understanding at all that you give us of your Word. We do thank you, Lord, that you are a teacher when we open your book. And we pray today that you'd speak to us from your Word, that you would speak to each one of our hearts through your Word this day. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.